Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio in just a few minutes. Talk a little Phillies baseball today. Of course, you can make the topic as well, or if you have a topic on your own you'd like to discuss, number is 800-795-9565. Of one of the leading scorers, Penn State basketball on the program today as well. One of the things we'll be discussing, as I said earlier, with the Phillies is the putting of Ryan Howard on the bench for left-handers. We'll talk about that a little bit more. That's a lot of money to be putting on the bench right now. That's just one of the things we'll chat about today on the Steve Jones Show. As I said, 800-795-9565 is the number to call. Yesterday we got into a heated discussion. Well, all right, that's not fair. How about a passionate discussion about whether Derek Jeter should be in the All-Star game or not, whether he deserves to be the leading vote getter at shortstop, or whether that's just, you know, because it's Derek Jeter and it's his last year. And Steve feels as though that's okay. It's his last year to be in the All-Star game and be voted in is fine.
You're just a hater.
I'm just recapping some of the things we discussed yesterday.
You're a hater.
I don't hate Derek Jeter.
I mean, you're a hater. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad to see.
I've never hated Derek Jeter. I mean, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I still don't hate Derek Jeter.
I mean, if we get to, for example, I mean, the final year of Troy Polamalu and they put him in the Pro Bowl, I mean, you know, and start him because people want to start him, are you going to complain then?
If he does not deserve to be there, you will not hear me say that he should be in the Pro Bowl even though it's his final year.
You'll be begging.
No.
You'll be begging.
No. No, I won't. I stand up for what I believe in.
It's all about your people. Okay? He's not one of your people.
He's not one of my people. He's not one of my peeps.
Okay? Now, if he were one of your people, you'd be like, hey, you know,
come on. Again, as I said yesterday, the All-Star game is the All-Star game. It's for the best players that year. He is not one of the best players this year. But I understand people wanting to see him in the All-Star game. I totally understand that.
It's the people's game.
I agree.
And it turns out he's just not one of your people.
He's not one of my people, no.
You know, it's one of your guys. Well, we're going to go to the wall for that. You know, we're going to justify 3.9 yards a carry getting into the Hall of Fame. Okay, fine. That's great. You know, I got 3,000 hits over here. You're like going like 3.9 yards a carry, you know, puts you in the Hall of Fame.
3.9 yards a game should put you in the Hall of Fame. That's a first down every two carries. Oh, 2.5. Sorry. I did get some bad news today, though. Remember how excited I was when Philly was talking about bidding on the 2024 Olympics? Yeah, they're not going to do that now.
Well, of course they're not going to. It'd be a mess. Come on. Only certain places in America that have it. But, you know, it's... I don't want you to suffer through the disappointments. I mean, because, I mean, ever since we started this show, it's been one disappointment after another.
Boy, you're not kidding.
I mean, you know, you can't get your dude into the Hall of Fame. You know, so now you're bitter about other people who also deserve. I mean, it's like, you know, to be honored and the whole thing. It's like the whole thing is sad.
Yeah, blah blah blah.
Blah, blah, blah. 3.9 yards a carry. You're going on and on about how you ought to be in. Well, this guy's got 3,000 hits, been a credit to the game. You won't let him in the All-Star game.
It's not the Hall of Fame. It's the stinking All-Star game. All right, I'm done. I'm done with the All-Star game. I am not ranting about it anymore. Now I'm going to rant about the Olympics not going to Philly.
Okay. Okay. First of all. All right. When it comes to the All-Star game, it is no longer 1975 anymore.
Meaning
it doesn't have the centralized focus and the magic that it had in 1975, 80, 85, whatever.
All right, I will definitely agree with that.
It doesn't have that. The care factor is low to the point where, you know, people bid on the All-Star game to host it. Turns out Minnesota's going to host it this year, and they'll be a great host. I don't know if you've ever been to Target Field, but it is gorgeous, and Target Plaza is really beautiful. But it doesn't mean much like it used to. You talk about, and it is. I don't care if it determines home field in the World Series or not. If you're going to determine home field in the World Series, okay, then you hand the ball to Zach Greinke, and you tell him, hey, babe, you give me 7 good ones tonight. It's like, oh, it's not going to happen. Okay? It's not going to happen. Give me 7 innings. We'll bring in one guy to do the 8th. We'll bring in the closer in the 9th inning. All the rest of you guys are not pitching. Because this means something. We're playing for home field in the World Series. So I'm going to start my best guy, and he's going to pitch 7 innings. No, I'm going to start my best guy, and he's going to pitch to 4 batters. And you're quibbling over whether Derek Jeter should be starting at shortstop in the All-Star game?
I have my standards.
Well, they're low everywhere else, so I don't quite get this one.
I'm really upset about this Philadelphia thing, pulling from the 2024 Olympics. I really thought that there was an opportunity.
I don't want the Olympics here. For
Why?
Goodness sake.
Why on God's green earth would you not want the Olympics nearby?
It's a nightmare.
Oh, please! You're going to complain about traffic.
It's a traffic, security, and logistical nightmare.
So is the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Convention, but people bid on that too.
Believe me, I wouldn't want that either.
And Philadelphia wants to focus on that. They want to focus on hosting the 2015 World Meeting of Families and the 2016 Democratic National Convention.
Well, I wouldn't want to be around either one of those.
I don't see them generating the revenue that the 2-plus weeks the summer games would.
Look. Okay. The inconvenience to a region to host this thing is astronomical.
I agree.
So the answer is no. Okay.
I mean, that's like saying, I don't want the World's Fair anywhere near me.
I don't. Okay? The Schuylkill Expressway, to begin with, on a normal day, goes anywhere between 5 and 12 miles per hour. Now you want to add, oh my goodness, they're going to have rowing in the Schuylkill River.
That'd be awesome.
Really?
Okay, so where should they have it then? I mean, New York is basically out now.
Well, I don't want New York either.
Where do you want to put it? Like, in Kansas somewhere?
No, America shouldn't have it, period. The heck with it. Withdrawal.
No. Listen, I'll go back to the archives. I think you said every other Olympics should be in North America.
Okay. Well, for TV, it should be. I mean, we finance everything. I mean, I'd only, I mean, look, there are 189 countries in the UN. I'd only pay 189th of our share. I'm serious.
I can't argue with that philosophy, I guess.
I wouldn't give that moron group more than 189th or whatever. We're over there paying 75%. What the hell are we doing? Let's see. Where would I put the Olympics? Let's see.
Well, here are the cities that I know have seen interest. Dallas.
Norway's out.
Dallas, Los Angeles. Of course, Philly's out. New York's out. Yeah. Washington, D.C. is another one that has expressed interest to be the U.S. bid.
Oh, my God.
Well, at least they have. Yeah, but at least they have a really good transit system.
Do you travel around America at all?
I have been to D.C. many times. I love the Metro transit system.
Okay. Now multiply that times. Okay?
Yeah. I understand. Okay. But they're not going to have it. They're not going to have it in the National Mall.
The Beltway goes around all the venues that are going to be there.
Yeah, but they don't have to have it inside the Beltway. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, the only benefit would be it would probably shut the government down, and that's good.
Well, at least we found a positive for the country anyway.
Okay. I mean, I assume Chicago's bidding, right?
I had heard Chicago had expressed interest, yes.
Good, let them have it. It's good.
But why Chicago?
Well, it's not near here.
You are frustrated. You are extremely frustrating.
It is a logistical nightmare.
It's a logistical nightmare anywhere you have it. It was a logistical nightmare in Russia, but they still seem to pull it off.
Fine. If they want to have a, these are also the same people that have perimeters around Chernobyl. So I don't, I mean, I get it. I got it. Just set up the same perimeter like you did at Chernobyl. Nobody in, nobody out. Okay, got it.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine being that close to the 2024 Olympics, and it's just now hopes are dashed. I mean, even New York would be great. Because, you could actually have some events in Philly, New York, and Boston.
It is a logistical nightmare.
It's a logistical nightmare wherever you have it, though.
I don't want a logistical nightmare, okay? For example, when the president shows up in any area, it's an absolute nightmare because of all the security you have to go through for one man. Now you're going to have to go through it for everybody?
Well, here it is. As of earlier this month, the U.S., with a 22-year Olympic drought, have the following as contenders: Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, Dallas, Washington, Philadelphia, and Boston. Now, that list is going to be cut to two or three cities here very, very soon. Matter of fact, they expected it to be before June. So now, with Philadelphia out...
I like San Diego. That'd be great. Some of the events can be in Tijuana. It'd be great. Some of the events can be in Tijuana. It'd be great.
Boston would be... I wouldn't mind Boston either. I'd go to Boston.
Logistical nightmare.
It's a logistical nightmare everywhere. You think Los Angeles is going to be good?
Have you ever been on 128... any day?
No. Not that I recall, anyway. Okay. I probably was and didn't know it.
Okay. All right. I've done it many times. I mean, I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't work now. I mean, why do you think the Patriots play in Foxborough and not downtown?
That's fine. The Olympic events are not going to be downtown.
Oh, where are you going to put it? Lexington?
Framingham? An Olympic village.
Over where? Cape Cod?
Well, why do you think Los Angeles would be a better location? I mean, forget
the
sake of
Los Angeles.
Oh, that's what it is. There's the answer. It has nothing to do with the United States. It has nothing to do with patriotism or love of sports. It's what's ever convenient for Steve Jones.
Hey, we have football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I mean, do I need some archery thing in Sunbury?
I would push for that.
I push for you to be a target.
feel like I'm a target every day between 3 and 5.
Oh, you're just so sensitive.
What's coming up on the program today besides dashing all my hopes?
Joe Crispin and why someone who has 3.9 yards per carry for his career should be on the outside looking in. It's a nightmare.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend, bonjour, how you?
One of those countries, except for the last one, may get the Olympics in 2016.
Yay, let them have it. Come on, give the Soviets credit. They have experience with the Chernobyl thing, so they keep people in and out really well. You want it in Philadelphia, where the Schuylkill Expressway this afternoon is going 5 to 12 miles an hour.
Yeah, but that's no different than any other day.
My point is that it'll be 1,000 times worse. But you think that's good.
I'm fine with it. I'm only visiting.
I can tell you, if you go, you're not getting out. You are so desperate to have an Olympiad near you.
It's because I missed out in 96. I missed my opportunity in Atlanta to go, and I've regretted it ever since.
Well, if you want, we can take a trip down to Lake Lanier, and you can pretend to see it.
It's not the same.
Probably not, but you know, it's at least a suggestion. All right. Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament's coming up. They'll have a reception tomorrow night, and then Friday they'll play some golf. All to benefit cancer research. Joe Crispin will be participating. The Crispin brothers combined for 2,000 points at Penn State. Joe had 1,987 of them.
You're going to tell him that, aren't you?
What was the ultimate total?
2,000 points, and you had 1,987.
Oh, that's because, well, John will say I didn't let him shoot enough.
You didn't let anybody shoot enough. What? That's
it. Why should he'll find some agreement on that one.
Why should Johnny be different than anybody else?
That's right. That's right.
Johnny had 26 at Kentucky the night. Of course, you had to have 31 to outdo him, but that's all right.
Yeah, he will mention I shot 20 sometimes to his 12. And that's a legitimate one for that game. I'll give him that.
Yeah, 31 points at Kentucky. I don't care. I don't think you shot enough.
I'll tell you, though, I probably said to you before, I felt so good that night, I felt like I should have had 40.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
It was just one of those nights that you just felt great, and you felt like every shot was going in.
I know every time you took one, I kept thinking, that's going down. So, well. Let's talk quickly about the pro career part of it, because obviously, you know, we know, you know, there was the NBA part. Discuss how difficult it is trying to play the European circuit and hooking up in different countries and what different rules happen to be in terms of eligibility and so forth?
Yeah, it took me a little bit to get used to. Probably by the time I was really proficient at it, I decided to not play. But, you know, part of it was just getting used to the pro game in general. I think I've probably said to you before, you know, the European game really does translate better to the college game than the NBA game,
right,
because of the various rules. So in that respect, it wasn't as difficult, but, you know, it's still professional basketball, so there's a certain style of play, and there's a certain level of expectations and, you know, understanding of the game. You're playing with, you know, a bit more veteran players most of the time, and that's probably what took me some getting used to, because I had come from, the first time I went over, to a EuroLeague team in Greece, and really I was not really prepared for that experience, because EuroLeague really was a different style of play than what I was used to, and even what I was playing in the NBA. So, you know, it takes some getting used to, and granted, in Italy you have different types of, you know, might have two Americans one year, you might have three another, you might have this guy on a passport, so it really varies from country to country, but yeah, fortunately I was able to figure my way out over there and you know, enjoy a good career.
In fact, Pete Lisicki was able to get dual citizenship, which helped him. I mean, that helped him tremendously.
That helps anybody, and that helps from a paycheck perspective, but also from an opportunity perspective, because you're an American who doesn't count as an American. And that's a huge thing. And in some countries, that's more important than others, because some countries they might have, there's all sorts of different things. It depends what country your citizenship's in, et cetera. You might be European Union, you might be on the eastern part. But either way, you open up a lot more doors with that. That's why guys will sadly sometimes pay to get them.
How difficult was it to adapt to culture? Because you played in different countries, so how difficult was it to adapt to culture?
Yeah, we got pretty good at it, especially after being in Turkey. That's probably the most extreme. Ukraine was different. Poland was different. Those were probably the toughest ones. But, you know, I think it's difficult for anybody, but from a basketball perspective, it makes it a lot easier, because there is a common basketball culture, and you spend so much time around your team. English is usually the predominant language. There was only a few situations where it wasn't. There were, you know, and once you do it one or two or three times, then it does become routine. It's kind of wild. There's always an initial shock. Anytime I went over, I was like, oh man, I want to go back home.
Yeah.
Even when I was familiar with it, with Italy or wherever. But, you know, like anywhere, you just kind of settle in, and eventually it got pretty comfortable.
Do you look at the situation in Ukraine differently because you actually were there and got to know some people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Ukraine's kind of a sad place, to be honest with you. There's such a, you know, corruption so assumed, and it's, you know, there's a good deal of poverty. There's not a whole lot of opportunity. You know, I tell kids all the time when I speak to kids in schools or whatever, just how blessed they are and how much they need to understand that the opportunities they take for granted are opportunities that are just not a reality in most parts of the world. And Ukraine is the perfect example of that, because, you know, the amount of money people were making to work on a consistent basis was really, really sad. And it was generally assumed in the culture that if somebody was making a lot of money, they were cheating to do it. And it probably wasn't far off, sadly. So when all these things are happening over there, it's not really surprising to me.
All right. Now, when you're in the NBA, what is the treatment like in terms of being a part of the show?
Yeah, the NBA is another world. When people, you know, and it's probably even more so today than it was my rookie year, but I know there was one occasion I always remember where I was with the Suns, and I was, I'd probably only been there for two, 3 weeks, and we had to just take a bus trip somewhere, and it wasn't that, it was like no big deal. But, you know, the guys were hemming and hauling because we're so used to traveling first class and chartered jets. And I said, guys, let me just remind you, I came from the ABA, and I got a couple guys there making $250 a week. And all of them to a T. And it was a good group of guys on the team. They all were like, man, you're so right. We just forget. You know, we forget, and it's easy to forget when you get lost in that world of five-star hotels and first-class treatment. And, I mean, the way it should be, considering the amount of money that's involved there.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, it is a different world. And the one thing they get right, though, is it does make it easier to do your job really well. You know, when you're talking about being an elite athlete and taking great care of your body and the pounding that's involved there, I mean, being in Europe was much, much harder to do your job well for me, because there's so many factors that, you know, they either don't have the resources to invest in the way NBA clubs or even Division I college teams do, or they just don't get it. They don't realize how important it is to, you know, have a nice locker room that's clean and a good weight room and, you know, a physical therapist and all these other things that we just kind of take for granted in the NBA or even in college basketball.
Here at Penn State, obviously, you were in a successful run where you played in an NIT final, in two NIT Final Fours and a Sweet 16 when it came to the NCAA tournament. In your opinion, you know, what does it take here that's a little bit different than other places? Because obviously you've talked to enough other guys as to what life was like where they went to school. Now, what does it take here, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I've always said I believe there's a formula. And, of course, you can't. There's not an exact formula for every single place, but I do think there's a certain way that to win anywhere you go. And I always felt like that was true in the pros, because you're dealing with budgets and you're dealing with locations and whatever else. So you have to get certain kind of players to fit certain situations. And I think that's true in college basketball as well. And, you know, when you look at Penn State, is unique in location and history, et cetera. And, you know, you do have to – it is more difficult to do. I'm the first one to say that, number one. But at the same time, I do think it can be done. And I think there with our team was a good example. You had some combination of some higher-level recruits, you know, at least during the time, and then some under-the-radar recruits or some maybe underestimated recruits. You had a couple kids from the city, some kids from the suburbs, so there was kind of a little more cultural mix there. And that worked. And I think it kind of reflects the university a little bit as well. And, of course, you're not always going to get that exactly. But then the reality is you got to – There's not as much room for error. If you're not able to get that same five-star talent every year, there's not as much room for error from an X and O perspective and an injury perspective, et cetera. And, you know, throughout my career, I mean, even my freshman year, we have one injury. We were one injury away from being in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I think, without a doubt. I mean, there wasn't – that's not even under discussion. We were – a win or two away from the NCAA tournament with me as a very inexperienced freshman point guard.
Right.
And Danny Earle was very good at the time. And when you don't have 10 deep, you know, we weren't able to overcome that. The other factor, I think, though, that can work to the advantage, especially in today's basketball, is you know, as you see in the NCAA tournament last year, if you can develop kids and get kids to stay around for 3-4 years, older kids play better. I'll take veteran players over younger, more experienced players 9 times out of 10. Now, granted, we had that 10% in Kentucky last year.
Right.
But you know, professionally, veterans win, and oftentimes in college, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you think you have Mercer, who had that senior starting lineup, and they beat Duke. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mercer's a good example, and Mercer's also another good example. I mean, the NCAA tournament, a lot of times, some of the NBA guys who do the NCAA tournament for CBS, some of them aren't great, but although Charles is always entertaining, but the one thing that that professional players and coaches who comment on the NCAA tournament appreciate more than most college commentators is matchups. You know, in the NBA, it's just a given that you're looking at the matchups of teams, not just what the rankings are and how talented they are. And Mercer Duke was a perfect example of just the way Duke had been playing all season did not match well up with Mercer. The way they play man-to-man defense, the way they rely on the three so much, et cetera. It's one so-so shooting night away from easily losing to Mercer. Whereas, you know, I forget who Mercer played in the next round, but they got handled. And that really is matchups. And that went our way a couple in the NCAA tournaments until we faced Temple. And that really is the way it goes oftentimes.
Yeah, I think it was Tennessee that got them in the next round. And they didn't match up with Tennessee at all.
No, and they were not phenomenal by any stretch.
And this is what we talk about on our broadcast all the time. We always talk about matchups all the time.
Yep.
I mean, and that's because when you've been around it enough, you know what you're looking for in terms of, you know, who matches up where and where can you find the mismatch and exploit it. That's what it's same thing in football. We talk about that all the time.
Exactly. And there's some styles of play and there's some players and there's some parts of the season where you just don't want to match up with certain teams. And, you know, does it mean they're a better team? No, it just means they're better than you that day. And, you know, oftentimes that infuriates coaches, but that often is just the reality of the game.
Or else you just have an attitude of, oh, heck of it, I'll just shoot it. All right.
Well, hey, that's another one that I just say all the time, and I live with it as a player. It's a make-or-miss game, and, you know, I know it'll probably drive me nuts when I get into coaching, but it really is a make-or-miss game. And, you know, oftentimes you can say, oh, we did this well and we did that well, but really when push came to shove, we just made shots today. And they missed a few that they could have made, and the game could have been different.
There's going to be a point. There's going to be a point, Joe, where you're going to be coaching, and somebody's going to go out there and they're going to take 30 something shots, and it's going to infuriate you. And it's going to. And I'm going to remind you of this story. Matt Millen one time brought his children. I think it was over to Joe's house. Okay. And one of them was running around, grabbing, touching everything. It's like, you know, and Matt's going to go, stop it, stop it. And Joe started laughing. Okay, and his exact quote to Millen was, "You got one like you."
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's what I'm going to tell you. You got one like you, Joe. hey, I'll see.
That's why. In order to stay sane, I'm going to make the game fast.
There you go. Hey, I'll see you Thursday night.
More possessions equals an easier time dealing with mistakes.
Yeah. Hey, I'll see you Thursday night and Friday as well. I look forward to it.
Sounds good. We're looking forward to it as well.
Joe Crispin. Penn State's second all-time leading scorer, actually third all-time leading scorer, behind Taylor Battle and Jesse Arnell. We'll come back, talk about Olympic disappointment in a moment, and also Tom Verducci with brilliant analysis on how to jumpstart baseball as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That song's banned. Okay? I don't want to hear for till Brazil.
Another 2 years.
I mean that means that thing can gather dust. All right. We'll be over at Oakmont covering the US Open before we hear that song again.
That's fine.
Yeah, I speak for the audience. Oh, good. Oh. Whew. What month is that Brazil Olympics?
Pretty sure it's August, now that you put me on the spot.
I'll Google it, okay? I'll make something up here.
How's that different than normal?
You want some dude named Ramirez playing shortstop instead of Derek Jeter.
I mean, really?
It's fine. It's a different kind of show using your standards.
August 5th through August 21st. 306 events in 28 sports. 16 days.
Well, I mean, to me, the rowing and kayaking should be on the Amazon. I think that would be interesting. Because no, if you fall in, nobody knows what. What the deal is. All right.
Actually, after watching Anaconda, I don't want to cover that sport.
Our thanks to Joe Crisman for being on the show today. Next half hour, Tom Verducci wrote a really great column on SI.com about where baseball can make some changes. I mean, in other words, all he's really suggesting is baseball should follow the rules. And guess what? Rule 6.02, I've been saying it's 20 seconds. You know what the rule actually is?
15?
12.
12. Wow.
That's the rule.
I mean, I knew it was short and unenforced, but I didn't know it was that short.
Well, believe me, batters are the worst offenders, not pitchers. But I'm going to run down what he says. Now, baseball in its popularity is doing very well. It's not like it's not unpopular. People are using their smartphones to keep up with games, their tablets to keep up with games. Attendance is good. TV ratings are okay. So, I mean, but I think everyone knows that in terms of the pace of play, the increase in the number of minutes the game takes is actually even greater than they think. Danny Espinosa, for example, takes 27 and a half seconds between pitches. You're talking about a half minute between pitches. Why? He's second. Troy Tulowitzki's first from the Colorado Rockies. That's insane. The problem is that the increase in minutes played are all minutes where there's no action.